If you have things that are heavy, come to church. Listen to what God has to speak to you, and He will lift those burdens. Sometimes you come to church and you just want to ring your cowbell. Amen. Because you're going to have folks that are going to get around you, and they're going to join in the praises that you're giving unto God. Sometimes you come to church and you just want to be quiet. Sorry, this is not a good place for you to come in and just be quiet. Because you come to church and you want to be quiet and you want to get off on your little corner and all like that. These nosy people around Mount Calvary are going to come over and they're going to tap you on the shoulder and they're going to say, "Is everything okay?" Because they care. It is something that I've heard this past couple of weeks over and over again, and how it thrills my heart to stand in front of you, a congregation that I believe loves God. No one here has it all right. Nobody here has it all figured out. Everyone here has mistakes. But I'll tell you one thing. We are simply sinners saved by grace. Amen. 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 2017, I was talking a little bit to the folks who were here on Wednesday night, and we just got together. We had a nice little conversation, and we were talking about what everybody talks about here at the beginning of the year. You got to think about working on your New Year's resolution. And it is amazing to me how people approach this resolution items. Half the people, they make New Year's resolutions. Almost half the people, I never make a New Year's resolution. We were trying to figure out, and I read one time that it's estimated how many days it takes for you to give up on your New Year's resolution. And Cousin Rick spoke up. He said, January 2nd. I'm going to go with his figures. Everybody knows, and I've the top New Year's resolutions. Number one, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get organized. I'm going to spend less. I'm going to save more. I'm going to enjoy life to the fullest. I'm going to stay fit and do my best to be healthy. There is even a golfer's list of resolutions for the new year. I'm going to practice more. I'm going to make those short putts and not just take them all as gimmies. I'm going to walk instead of ride. I'm not preaching. Some of these things are just meddling into your life. But it's amazing how people will start off the year with great expectations about setting in their mind and setting in their heart the change that they like to see. And I'm here to tell you today, folks, that if you've made up a New Year's resolution and you ask God to help you stick to it, amen. But I'm also here to tell you that there's certain things that I do. I was telling the people on Wednesday, and I was telling them, I always like to pick out certain scriptures that kind of thrill your heart and something I can kind of grab a hold to and kind of go back to it again and again. And in the past, there's certain scriptures. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, and I'm glad I'm a part of that, whosoever, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And there have been certain years that I've just got a hold of that verse, that I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. And so today I was looking for a scripture that I could kind of hold on to, something that I could just like, this is what I'm going to focus on, and this is what God is going to use to just thrill my heart for the new year. And then I thought, now if I use this scripture here, they will all be so impressed, because I'm going to give you a scripture that's found in Matthew, and it's Matthew chapter 20, verse 17. Anybody get that? Matthew 20, 17. I want you to look impressed now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you all don't get it all at one time. I get. Matthew 20, 17. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes. And they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again." And the third day he will rise again. Heavenly Father, allow us to just open our minds and hearts for just a few moments so we receive that truth to each and every one of us. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. All God's people said amen, amen, amen. This is probably one of the simplest scriptures that you'll find in the Bible. And these simple three scriptures here, it tells the whole story. Jesus, on his way, he kind of stopped and he took everybody to the side. He says, "I just want to tell you something. I want to make it as simple as I can possibly make it. We're going to go to Jerusalem and I will be betrayed. They will condemn me to death. They will deliver me and they will crucify me." None of these things the disciples wanted to hear. None of them. But then he makes that final statement. "And the third day he will rise again." On the third day, this tomb will not hold me. On the third day, I will overcome death. Folks, this is the crux of the gospel. It's such a simple message that Jesus rose again from the dead. I know on Easter's we go out to the cemetery and Miss Ruby is so kind to kind of give us a little, she calls it we talked one time, she says, "This is a sermonette." And I just said, "Miss Ruby, that's just you talking. That's all it is. That's just you talking." Because folks, she shares truth in such a simple way. Because it comes from God. I am here to tell you that I like simple things. I'm the kind of guy that I like it when you explain it to me nice and simply. Just tell me what you want me to know. I know that people come and they have different thoughts and they have different things going on in each and every one of our lives. We have busy things going on. This afternoon at 3:00, God willing, I'm doing a wedding. That's why Becky and Kevin are here in church this morning. Praying for that wedding that's going to happen at 3:00 today, God willing. Our son Nathan and Riley, they're going to tie the knot. They're going to do a simple thing. They're going to say, well, hopefully they're going to say, "I do." If not, I don't want to waste all that gas going from here to Warrington. They don't. You can text him, let him know that before I head that away. It's a simple thing. I do. It's a simple statement. And it tells the whole story. And as much as I've kind of wanted to look in this Bible and come up with that scripture that's just going to, oh, this is going to be the one the congregation's going to get a hold of this scripture. And boy, this is going to be the one that they're just going to set in their hearts this year. And it's going to make such a difference in people's lives. Then God says, "I have a little something different for you today. The thing that I am placing within my heart is a statement. And it was written and given to me in a Christmas card that I have in front of you. It says if you want to find wisdom, especially around churches, go to the elders. And I'm not talking about me, although I'm looking a lot more elderly than I have in the past as I didn't turn 60. But I received a Christmas card and somebody wrote a statement in it that, wow, just captured my heart. The printed part is wishing you a beautiful holiday season, a new year of peace and happiness. But then in her own handwriting, she wrote, "Dear Pastor, your church is such a warm and loving haven for those of us who were lost in searching. Thank you. Your church is such a warm and loving haven for those of us who were lost in searching. Thank you." That's about as simple as it gets, isn't it? And it is something that I read and I pulled it aside. I went and read it again. And then as I'd start to work on a sermon, I'd take this card out and I'd read that again. And now God, how thrilled I am to be in a church that is warm and loving, where people who were lost and searching have found a haven. You come to church for different reasons. I think all of you came to this church looking for something. So did I. I don't know exactly what it was. In coming here, you found something, I hope, and possibly it wasn't exactly what you expected. Trust me, I know. When you hear me preach, it's not exactly what you expected. But hopefully, for some of you that haven't listened to the radio, I'm the best preacher you've heard this year. Although some of you get up and listen to these other preachers early in the morning. I know. But I've been thinking and I've been asking God, show us where you want us to be. Tell us what kind of church we want to be. Tell us where we fit in, folks. And when I read this statement, your church is such a warm and loving haven for those of us who are lost and searching. Dorothy, that's some very nice writing there that you did. And I read it, brought a tear to my eye. This afternoon, God willing, after the wedding, I'll be traveling over the mountain to see my mother to celebrate her birthday. She also is a New Year's baby. Very proud when we were young children, she told us that how much more special her birthday was than ours because they have parades on her birthday. That's true. They do. It's very good as a young age to find your place in life. And I love how people with just a simple statement can make such a difference in your life. Somebody sent me this little item, and I love it when people send me stuff for the sermon because they know the help that I need. And in this one, it's the gentleman's name was Marvin, and it's not the Marvin and Fran that you're thinking about, not here today. He says, he'd been a waiter all of his life, and on his deathbed, he said to his wife Ethel, he said, "Now I'll be on the other side waiting for you, and if you ever want to talk to me bad enough, I'll come back, I promise." So some weeks after the waiter died, his wife decided she wanted to speak to him again, so she went to the town, I forget what you call them, a spiritualist or a psychic or whatever, and he decided, and she was instructed to knock on the table and he'll answer you. She said, okay. So she knocked on that table. There was no answer. She said, I'm going to knock on that table a little louder. Still no answer. She said, Marvin, you come here quickly or else. Finally, there's a bolt of thunder and lightning and everything. And he says, yes, dear. She says, what took you so long? He said, that's not my table. That's not the way you want to start your sermon the beginning of the year. But I'm here to tell you something. It's a simple story. It's a simple story that this year, he went to Jerusalem. He was crucified upon a cross. But then, on the third day, he rose again. That's the story we need to hear. That's the story that I'm going to press upon you to place within your heart, to share the good news to everyone that comes along, to share the thing that God has done for you, to be the loving and warm church where those of us who were lost in searching have found a haven of rest. Amen. 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 Heavenly Father, tells us within your word that on the night that you were betrayed, that you took bread, you broke it. That bread representing the body which is broken. We ask now that you'll bless it, God. You will simply bless it. You'll take this small cup of juice which represents blood that was shed. And God, we ask that you'll bless it. Because God, you allow us to begin this year thanking you what you've done for us. It tells us to do this in remembrance of you. So Heavenly Father, as we have come into your house, if we have heard songs of praise unto you, we have read your scripture, and God, you simply placed a simple truth within our hearts that after the third day you rose again, and God, we are simply taking of this communion in remembrance of you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.